Elaine Lowry Bry is a mom who knows about letting go. Like many moms, she cried when her kids left home, wishes they'd call and write more, and spend sleepless nights worrying about them. But Elaine's tears and concerns are even more poignant than most mothers, because Elaine is the mom of four military officers, one each in the Air Force, Army, Navy, and Marines. She's just written a book called Be Safe, Love Mom, A Military Mom's Stories of Courage, Comfort, and Surviving Life on the Home Front. It is a pleasure to welcome Elaine Lowry Bry to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thanks so much for being with you, Joe. I've heard great things about you, especially from my co-author, Nan Gatewood Satter. She lives in the Hudson Valley, and she's so excited that you wanted to talk with me.
Well, that's very nice. Had I known that, we could have gotten her in, too. That's very nice. What led you to say, I think I have a story to tell here? Because it is an unusual story.
Well, I actually never dreamed that I would write a book, but in 2001, my first son went to the Naval Academy, and we had this antiquated form of parent communication called a listserv, where parents would email and share concerns and worries and information, and I became involved in that. And, of course, everything changed very quickly. When he joined, he was in part of the peacetime Navy, and then on 9/11, all of a sudden, all bets were off. And our frame of reference changed very rapidly. We became a nation at war, and our sons and daughters, who had certainly knew that that was a possibility, but it was certainly not something that was in the forefront of our minds at that time. And so I had grown up in the military, had been a military child, military spouse, and I had some background in understanding things military, and I would share my experiences. And I was asked to become a moderator. So I would just write my thoughts, feelings, you know, supportive emails explaining the military. And over the years, people started saying, you should write a book. You should write a book. Mm. I had two more children go to the Naval Academy. And I thought I would maybe write a guide to the Naval Academy from a parent's perspective. And it kind of snowballed from there. And as they went off into active duty, our youngest son joined the Army through Army ROTC. I realized that there was a great need for, especially I speak from the mom perspective. I know that this is true really for dads and for anyone who loves someone in the military. But I realized that there was a great need for somebody to be a supporter, an encourager, and just to share. And I was convinced by hundreds of people that you just need to write this down, and that's how it all evolved.
You joined the Naval Academy Parents Listserv, and you started this journey of helping parents adjust to this life as a military parent. I'm curious, and you certainly, there's much evidence to this in the book, but I'm curious as to the type of letters you were receiving. I mean, yes, there's a commonality, but everyone sort of deals with it differently, don't they?
Yes, they do. And it would be from basic information to when do they get to come home to very heartfelt letters about, I think I'm losing my mind. I'm so worried about my child. I still participate in our Facebook pages. I get a lot of private messages if someone is in trouble. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Or relationships with, you know, girlfriends, relationships with their child. It changes as our children separate from us and become adults, whether they're in the military or not. That's a huge transition for moms, especially. How do we parent adult children, especially adult children who happen to be warriors? And so it would run the gamut from just the benign to the most heart-wrenching.
And it seems as though at the core of much of this is communication, and often a lack of communication, right? That you don't know where your child is at any given moment.
Exactly. And that really is the hardest thing to bear for me. You know, when I delivered those children, I became their chief protector. That was my role. And part of that was taking care of them, teaching them, training them to navigate life, to become independent. I certainly didn't want children that were going to live in my basement for the rest of their lives. But that letting go process and knowing that I could not protect them, combined with the reality that they may be in places on the earth that I have no idea what they're doing, no idea what kind of dangers they might be facing, and no way for them to tell me, right, was very, very difficult. But even on a daily basis or a weekly basis or a monthly basis, you don't have the connection that you had when you were driving them around every day into a myriad of activities. And that is very hard. But it's also part of that transition to being a parent of adults. And right, so I encourage moms especially to switch the way they think about that, that we need to recognize them as adults. Of course, the message I have to adult children is, how about thinking about your parents as being a person too?
So Sunday is Mother's Day. Will you hear from all the kids?
No. I know I won't hear from two of them, yeah, because I have two of them out of pocket. And I will definitely hear from my daughter. You know, a lot of people, when they hear that I have four, they always assume that they're four boys.
Right.
They're
one,
not.
One is a daughter.
And, you know, I'm grateful for that because she compensates for a lot of lack of communication. And I'm sure I will hear from my son, who is able to call because I have a wonderful daughter-in-law who will make sure that happens.
to push a little bit, sure. And I don't mean this to be an overtly political question, although it does enter that fray just by its nature, but do you feel that the military and these four branches of the service do enough to communicate with the parents on the home front?
You know, the communication you typically get from the military is when your child graduates from boot camp or when the day they enter basic training or induction day, you get thank you for your service, thank you for your sons and daughters and that you're sending them to the service. And then most of us will never hear from them again unless, God forbid, there's a knock on the door.
Right.
You know, and I don't believe that there needs to be a government program that says we need to establish communication with parents. I think that with the amount of communication availability now, there are a lot of resources out there where we parents can get a lot of good information about how things work. There's some great Facebook groups out there, Air Force Wing Moms, Marine Parents, that provide really great, solid information about what happens in boot camp and where do you find this information, parental connections. A lot of that is also sitting your kid down and saying, I need you to sign me up with a family readiness person so I get the newsletters when you're deployed. And then I need to, if my child is married, I need to cultivate a good relationship with their spouse so I get that information. So I don't really think it needs to be something we pay for. What I do think needs to happen, though, is in the event that a parent becomes a caretaker, which, you know, we have a million family caretakers now of wounded warriors, and fully a third of those are parents. I do think in the event of that happening, that those parents need to be brought into the fold very quickly and oriented, because we don't live on bases. We don't have the benefit of briefings. And so when there is that need, I think that's when the government needs to step it up in a much more robust way than it is happening now.
So you're doing this work, you're helping parents, and you're living in northeastern Ohio. 2012, the phone rings, or however this happens. I guess that's the nature of my question. How do you find out that you are being invited to introduce the First Lady of the United States before the Democratic National Convention?
Actually, my husband and I were on a road trip. We were at a gas station in South Dakota. We had been to visit his mom on the home farm in North Dakota. And the phone rings, and I thought it was, I had requested a White House tour tickets because it, the person said that, you know, they were from the White House, and I thought, oh, it must be my ticket request.
Hmm.
And in the, initially it was that they wanted me to just come to the convention, and I was somewhat, you know, why would somebody want me to come to the convention? And then it was, well, we would like you to speak. And I thought, well, they want me to talk about military families, and it'll be one of those times when they're broadcasting, but everybody's milling about the floor and nobody's right. really paying attention to the person on stage. I can do that.
Not prime time, sure.
Right. And then we were continuing to work our way across the country to get home. And when the call finally came, and the question was broached, I was speechless. And my husband was sitting across from me, and he was like, what's wrong? And I explained it to him, and he said, well, you know, they could ask Oprah.
So, sure. They always ask Oprah.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty astounding. It was certainly not on my bucket list, let's put it that way.
Right. And it comes from working with these organizations and from Blue Star Families to Joining Forces to different groups that you work with and the work that you have done with parents and with spouses and I assume just dealing with people who have a loved one in the armed forces.
Well, I think that was part of it, but you know, the rest of the story was being invited to the state dinner 4 months earlier, which is the stories in the book, which was equally astounding.
Right.
And just being able to talk one-on-one, mom-to-mom, with the First Lady. And apparently I made an impression. I don't know how else to say it. And so she's very proud of my children, which I am too. And so she said she wanted to, showcase my family, which I don't like to think of it that way. It's not my family and it's not my children. It's every American mother who says goodbye to her son or daughter, and it's every young American who decides to stand up and say, I'm going to sacrifice this amount of time in my life. Mm. And go out and serve. And I don't think that we are really special. I think we just represent a lot of other people and a lot of other families.
Well, certainly it's the decision of your child, but you are also sacrificing things as well.
Yes, we do. And we sacrifice things, big things and little things, on a daily basis. And that's one of the messages why I would really like the greater community to read the book, because there are ways that you can really lighten the load for a military family just by being aware of the daily stress and the burden of having a child in service. And it doesn't matter if they're in a war zone, because they're always just one phone call away. We never know what will happen from day to day. And I give the example that I have three children that are aviators, and in the past 15 months, there have been 10 military aviation accidents. Only one has been in the United States.
Right.
I mean, in a war zone. The rest have all been in the United States. So they're just the inherent nature of the military and the equipment and the type of mission, there is danger involved. And so we live with that. We live with the idea that when we have a loved one that is sick or dying or having a baby, they can't be there. We live with the idea that we miss them. And obviously kids grow up, go away, they move, they are not at home, but there's just an element of our kids can't come home if they want to. That makes it more difficult.
Elaine Lowry Bry is the author, along with Nan Gatewood Satter, of Be Safe, Love Mom, A Military Mom's Stories of Courage, Comfort, and Surviving Life on the Home Front. The book is published by Public Affairs. You can find out more information by going to besafelovemom.com, besafelovemom.com, to find out more about the book and more about Elaine's work. Elaine, thank you so much for spending time with us. I know it will make up for the other two phone calls, but have a very, very happy Mother's Day.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I hope to hike the gunks. Is that how you call it?
Yes, the gunks.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you. Again, the name of the book, Be Safe, Love Mom, by Elaine Lowry Bry. It's published by Public Affairs. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.